First Name Sports starts now.
We're kind of on a first name basis around here.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Okay, let's get started.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
All right, so I thought that this would be a good transition segment from the hardwood to the ice as the Sixers are looking to get to the conference finals for the first time in 22 years. And they are one win away from doing that. And in the NHL, the Toronto Maple Leafs have now gotten to the second round for the first time in 19 years. So the first round was the bugaboo for Toronto on the ice. And the second round was a big problem for the Sixers. Really both rounds for the Sixers, because prior to Embiid and this last, you know, 5-6 year stretch of losing in the second round, they were losing a lot in the first round before the process started. But anyway, it got me thinking, and we're going to ask our Maple Leafs guest in the next segment this very question, Lance Hornby from the Toronto Sun. How do you measure success when you get over that hump that has been such an elusive hump to clear? Is that enough? Because it's interesting that we use both of these franchises, the Sixers with the second round and the Maple Leafs with the first round, because it happened with Toronto and it might happen with the Sixers, where once you get over that hump, the team you next play is a South Florida team. And the Maple Leafs are having all sorts of problems with the Florida Panthers. And it looks like we might be headed for Sixers and Heat in the conference finals in the NBA. And in both cases, the Sixers would be a pretty sizable favorite over the Miami Heat. And we all expected Toronto to beat the Florida Panthers. And Toronto is down 3-0. And I think it's going to end tonight for the for the Leafs. And so how do they feel about that in such a hockey-crazed market like Toronto? Okay, you finally got out of the first round, and you beat a Tampa team that's probably better than the Florida team that you're going to lose to, it looks like. So is getting out of the first round finally for the first time in almost two decades enough? And while I don't want to get ahead of myself on the Sixers front because they still have to win one more game against the Celtics, I understand why people would look at losing to Miami, if that were to happen, and say, no, like, I'm not happy with this. It was a massive missed opportunity. Like, this is a big chance for the Sixers. I mean, they're the gambling favorites to win the NBA championship at a lot of sports books. And I think a lot of people thought Toronto, once Boston was out, it's like, okay, on the ice, they're playing the Panthers, and then in the conference finals, okay, Carolina looks pretty good. We'll get to some of the scores from last night on the ice in a little bit. But Toronto probably would have been a favorite against Carolina if we got that conference finals. Certainly against the Devils. And so, yes, you get over that hump, but you feel like there's more to be had. And when you don't achieve that additional gratification, are you able to come to terms with your season? And John Belmer, I want to bring you in here because I feel like this was a very common conversation that you guys had to face as Rockets fans, because there were a lot of seasons you never got to the finals with Harden, but there were a lot of good moments that I feel like sometimes people overlook because of the fact that, unfortunately, more often than not in big-time playoff games, he came up small. And so when you look back on it, are you happy of that era of Rockets basketball? Like, and in those seasons in particular, did you feel that way?
I think we did. I think the general consensus around it after a while was, as long as Harden's your lead guy, you're never going to win it. You're never going to get over the hump. But I also feel like there was such a downtime in between, you know, the back-to-back championships the Rockets won in the early 90s. and where they were with Harden, that it all felt like a success because you were going in the right direction.
Right. Okay. So could the question then I would follow up with there is, when it was going on, could you feel that way? Or is that more a feeling for after when it's over?
It's more a feeling for after when it's over.
Yeah.
Because any time you get to a certain point, and, I mean, they were in Western Conference Finals and losing to the Warriors in, you know, with crazy circumstances. The Chris Paul tearing his hamstring. Like, you felt like you were getting close. At the moment when you lose that series, you're dejected. You're disappointed. It's a failure.
Yeah.
In hindsight, you look back at that era and you say it's probably the best era they've had since the back-to-back championships. So, you know, it's okay. But in that moment, it sucks.
So it sounds like what you're saying is it's okay to have your short-term comprehension of those kinds of seasons be a little bit different than your long-term comprehension of it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's – you know, I don't think the thing is with the Maple Leafs and the Sixers, the teams that we're talking about this with, their stars are in their prime. Auston Matthews, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, Willie Nylander are all guys that we figure to be on the Maple Leafs for years to come as well. And I don't expect Joel Embiid to go anywhere. Now, we'll see what happens with James Harden with the Sixers. And again, they still need to win one more game to get over their hump. Toronto finally got out of the first round in the NHL, but we're seeing what happens now with the Panthers. So I have to think in markets like Toronto for hockey and certainly like Philly for all the sports, that if you lose, I can't imagine Leafs fans right now are like, well, at least we got out of the first round. Like, I just, there's no way you can come to terms with it. And again, the thing that kind of sucks about having that mindset is just a couple weeks ago when they finally did get out of the first round, everybody was elated in Toronto. And Kyle Dubas, the general manager, jumps out of his seat in the GM suite in Tampa. Sheldon Keefe was the coach. Was like, I don't even know what went through my mind there. It was a massive moment for them, as will tomorrow night for the Sixers if they win. Like, that will be a huge moment for the history of the franchise. But if you don't follow it up and keep winning, how does that moment sit with you? Like, let's just say that the Boston Red Sox lost the World Series in 2004 after they came back from 3-0 against the Yankees in the ALCS. All of a sudden, coming back from 3-0 becomes a footnote. And the interesting thing about that is when we think back to the Red Sox finally winning the World Series after 86 years and the curse of the Bambino ending, all of the big moments were in the ALCS against the Yankees. That is all we think about. They swept the Cardinals in the World Series. It's one of the more dull World Series I can remember in my lifetime. So the 04 ALCS is the, oh my gosh, defining moment for the Red Sox. One of the bigger moments in all of sports, given that rivalry and coming back. They're the only team in baseball to come back from 03 down in a best of seven. And that really wouldn't have mattered, even against the Yankees, if they lost. Especially if they still hadn't won a World Series. Now, they obviously won in 07 and again in 13 and once more in 18. But I think these are all steps along the way. And if you don't get to the final, you know, apex, especially if you lose to a team that everybody thinks you should beat. Like, I remember going into that World Series thinking, yeah, the Red Sox are going to beat the Cardinals. And they did. And you went into this second round series. Oh, yeah, now Toronto's going to beat Florida. Of course, why wouldn't they? Now that all their talent will take over and they've cleared that mental hurdle. And I'll feel that way about the Sixers if they play the Heat in the conference finals. So how do you can it makes it really hard to both appreciate the moments as they're happening when you know there's still something else to be achieved in that season that you think you can achieve. It's not like, you know, it's one thing if you lose to somebody that's just way better. Like, if you lose to the Durant Warriors, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, I can appreciate getting out of the second round, even though, because in the conference finals, in the, you know, if it was a Durant Warriors level opponent, we weren't going to beat them anyway. But you don't. We're not saying that about some of these teams. So I used the analogy earlier. You got to crawl before you can walk. But once you start walking, then you want to start running. And, you know, I think that sometimes there's an abrupt nature with which seasons end when it just doesn't feel like it's going to end. Like, when you get over that mental hurdle of, oh, we can't win this round or we can't beat this team, you just expect the weight of the world to be lifted off everybody's shoulders. And when that doesn't happen, how do you feel about how it all went down? Belmar, I'll ask you another one, Houston related. They didn't win the World Series, but how does everybody look back on the era of the Killer Bees here? Craig Biggio, Lance Berkman, Jeff Bagwell.
I think they look back in a very positive light with Bagwell and with Biggio.
And did you feel in 2005 that they should have beaten the White Sox?
Yeah. And they kind of caught lightning in a bottle. You know, they were not good most of that season, and then they took off and got there. So yeah, I think it's still a success when you look back at it because it's one of those lightning in a bottle moments.
Rides to the World Series. When it's a lightning in the bottle moment, even then in the World Series, you're like, wow, how are we even here?
Right. But then to get swept four games is just heartbreaking.
Sure. We will take a timeout and get a little bit more of an insight into how they're all feeling in Toronto, coming to terms with what's a season that's eventually going to end in the second round here. I don't think they're coming back from 3-0 against Florida, and I think it's over tonight in Sunrise, and the Panthers will bust out the brooms as we will bring on our guest from the Toronto Sun, Lance Hornby, joining us next. It's First Name Sports, SportsMap Radio.
We're back with First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Live from the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive Guest Line as we bring on Lance Hornby from the Toronto Sun. A lot of hockey to talk about in the final hour of the show today. Lance, good to have you aboard. How are you?
How are you, Greg?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well myself. And we talked a little bit about it in the last segment about how as a sports fan you should feel if your team finally clears this hurdle that has been such a tricky hurdle to clear, but then you don't win a championship. And, you know, tell me a little bit about how I can't imagine Leafs fans are saying right now, well, at least we got out of the first round, right?
Well, yeah, you know what? This has been a long time coming to get as far as they did. 19 years was a long wait, and things, you know, it looked like the road to at least the Eastern Conference was going to be open for them. Most people thought that Florida, you know, just lost too much stuffing in, you know, in getting past Boston. And, you know, it's in a four-round NHL playoff championship, it just takes a certain kind of team. And even though the Leafs are sort of, you know, hope to be built like that kind of team, they haven't come through, and that's from, you know, especially a little bit of self-satisfaction, maybe just getting through that first round. Maybe it took more out of them than other people know, but certainly around here, where they haven't won a championship, it'll be 57 years if they don't pull off a miracle in this series. You know, winning one round just isn't going to cut it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, in a market like Toronto, an original six hockey market, that even despite the hurdles of the first round and finally clearing them, it's just not going to be enough when you look at what's, especially the way it's happened here. I mean, how do you explain this? How did we get here? 3-0 Florida.
Well, you know, well, first of all, credit to Florida. They're not a one hit wonder by any means. Good forechecking team. They were able to find a way to get past the Boston, which, you know, again, curse of the, in hockey, curse of the President's Trophy winner. Mm. It's sometimes difficult to continue that in. And, you know, again, another story. This goes for all sports, really. You know, a team that has to scramble to get into the playoffs in the final weeks of the season, you know, comes in with a special kind of momentum and belief in itself. And that's been Florida. Now, I think Toronto should have had ample time to, you know, to prepare themselves and extra day of rest. They've had home ice advantage, but the big thing in Toronto is their big four, the core four, as they're known here, $40 million wrapped up in Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, John Tavares just haven't had the, you know, they haven't had the scoring success. I mean, it's come off, it's come on. You know, they've got other efforts from lesser players, but you know, the spotlight was on these guys to really turn it on. They had a pretty decent opening round against Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Have not done it. Have not scored at all, and that's how you get to 0-3.
Yeah, fair enough. Can I ask you, going back to when this series started? I guess it was a little over a week ago. How much of a threat did you view the Panthers?
You know what? You knew they'd be, you know, any team coached by Paul Maurice is a very, you know, it's going to be a very detailed one. I really thought it was going to take something out of them to come back as far as they did. And, you know, the interesting thing about Florida is with about seven games, I think, remaining in the regular season, they came into Toronto. They were on the periphery of the playoff race at that time. They fell behind early. Paul Maurice had an epic rant behind the bench. And they won their next six and got in. And really, it hasn't left there. So, you know what? I guess the roots of that might go back to the end of the regular season. But, you know, goaltending's one thing. They're getting Sergei Bobrovsky finally mm-hmm. playing like a multi-million-dollar goaltender like he is. And Matthew Tkachuk, here's a guy who was, you know, criticized like a lot of these Maple Leaf stars were for not getting the job done in Calgary. He's come here and he's found, you know, he's found a lot going his way. And there's a 40 goal scorer named Carter Verhaeghe, who, you know, was a Toronto Maple Leafs draft pick many years ago. He's taken a long way here, but, you know, in typical, you know, people often compare the Maple Leafs to the Chicago Cubs. And this is, you know, being done in by one of their own here, a Toronto born kid who's come back to haunt them. So, you know, Florida, even though, you know, on paper, not impressive. Full marks to them for coming through and really, you know, dulling the blade of the Maple Leafs with their top scorer so far anyway. And again, it's going to take a miracle to come out of this.
What's it been like just being around the team the last week? What have the vibes been? Is there kind of a resigned feeling?
Well, you know, anytime you get 0-3 in the NHL, yes, there's a, I guess there's kind of a, you know, a feeling that it's, you know, that the end is near and the scaffold is being built. But here's a, you know, the fan base here, again, I mentioned off the top, going on 57 years now without a cup. They were, you know, they were happy to go one round, and now, you know, here are these old problems surfacing again. Everything from their stars not playing well to, you know, the odd goaltending hiccup, you know, and you know, essentially blowing home ice, and now the, you know, it just underlines how badly, you know, that people overrated them in the regular season. Another 100-point season, they've had two or three of those now, is going to amount to nothing.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, it's weird to say because of how long the regular season is, but I guess you guys have been through it so much, you know, and all the Leafs fans have been through it so much that the regular seasons just don't hold a lot of water, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're at the end of something in Toronto. We've called the Shanna Plan after Brendan Shanahan when he came in there in 2013, 14. I mean, this was, you know, this was, there's going to be a lot of pain. You know, they brought in Mike Babcock as coach. They had, you know, they were just getting rid of Phil Kessel and some other players, you know, build through the draft, which they did, you know, with Nylander and Marner and Matthews, and then paying as much as they did for John Tavares. So there's just been this thing that here we go again. It's been another, you know, another in a series of rebuilds, and this one was going to be the one that was going to put them over the top because they really tore it down to the studs in this time, this one, and now it's, you know, they're one loss away from really having to look and see if it's going to have to start all over again, if in the summertime they're not going to lose some of these superstars, either through trade or, you know, in a couple of years, Austin Matthews and William Nylander are going to have the chance to leave as free agents. So it's going to be a long summer here.
Obviously, we're talking about a lot of reflecting and, you know, we'll get to looking ahead. But as far as tonight, like, is there any twist here? I think Florida completes a sweep.
You know what? If you know, the one good thing about this, if you're a Leaf player, is that they're not at home, because it just, you know, you can just imagine the anger that's happening. It's a bit of a more resignation now because there's been 4 days off total between the time when Toronto went down south down 2-0, then they lost again. So it's had time to sink in, but there's a lot of anger bubbling over. And you know, if any of that has got to the Leafs, and I think it has, they probably picked it up. You know, even the whole thing. We don't read newspapers, we don't have social media and all that kind of thing. They got to know what's awaiting them when they get home. So I think they're going to have a really good effort tonight, and it's been, you know, they've won some overtime games on the road through the Tampa series, three of them, and lost one in Florida as well. So I'm looking for their best effort tonight, but Florida's thinking, you know what, we're pretty banged up. We can have a chance to end this thing at home. You know, let's go ahead and do it, and finish the job. And, you know, it's after this, there's no more days off in the series. I think it's a long way for Toronto to come back to win three with again without any extra days off in the series.
Lance, last one for you. You mentioned it a little bit about, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's going to be some bigger roster changes in the summer should this team not make some miraculous comeback here. Is that what Kyle Dubas is thinking? I mean, how do you read him?
Well, you know what? He doesn't have a contract at the end of the season. A lot of this banked, you know, his success was banked on this. Brendan Shanahan, his club president, has two more years left. But, you know, it's a unique ownership situation here. Two giant broadcast partners own this team, and they've been unable to really get together on a lot of things. In retrospect, maybe that's part of the reason the Leafs are in this, in this kind of predicament that they haven't had a chance, you know, to have any clear definition at the top. But it might be the changes start with Shanahan. You have, you know, the easiest thing, of course, is to let go of the coach as well. You know, Sheldon Keefe's had a few playoff three or four chances to, you know, to make this team more responsible at the end of the season and make more of the regular seasons. And now, I guess, you know, as I mentioned before, one of this core four, probably William Nylander, because he has the lowest contract. Someone's got to be a sacrificial lamb here, and looks like it's going to be him.
All right. Well, we shall see what happens there in, do they call it the hockey capital in the world? I think I've heard that before, but regardless, we'll see what happens there with the Leafs moving forward. Lance Hornby from the Toronto Sun joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Lance, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me on, Greg.
All right. We will take a timeout and we'll come back. Let's go to some of the other action from last night in the National Hockey League. Carolina, with a resounding statement sent to the New Jersey Devils, and the Dallas Stars go to the Pacific Northwest, and they get a much-needed victory to even things with the Seattle Kraken. So we'll discuss what we saw from those two games and then get out of Dodge with the games on tonight's schedule. A couple more segments to play on a Wednesday afternoon. Getting you over the hump, First Name Sports, Sports Map Radio.
With First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Live from the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. They hear that a lot at chickendinnercasino.com because they have so many winners. That's because they have so many ways to win, including slots, blackjack, poker, and more. So, of course, you can step into their sports book and bet on any sport. And now is the perfect time to play with the NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs going on, Major League Baseball in full force, and the PGA's biggest tournaments, including the PGA Championship, coming up. And right now, listeners of Sports Map Radio and our show get a special welcome offer. Go to chickendinnercasino.com/sports and get a 50% first-time welcome bonus up to $1,000. That's right. Get a 50% welcome bonus up to $1,000 when you go to chickendinnercasino.com/sports. So what are you waiting for? Become a winner-winner at Chicken Dinner Casino today. And remember to add the /sports for your special welcome offer. Let's hit the ice and talk about the two games that were played last night. Let's start in Newark as the Carolina Hurricanes pick up a road win on the New Jersey Devils. How about 6-1 for the Caniacs? And they are now one win away from the NHL's Eastern Conference Finals as they lead it 3-1 over the New Jersey Devils. And I got to say, I talked a little bit about this at the beginning of the series, and last night's another example. Carolina is the best contender that no one's talking about in the NHL right now. At least that's how I feel. Smaller market, not a ton of star power, but they're good, and they defend well, and they play a good team brand of hockey, and they aren't devoid of high-end talent, but I just think their best players aren't as well-known as the best players on a lot of other teams across the league. So, the Hurricanes win, and again, I think the way in which it happened last night, where they get down 1-0 and then score 6 unanswered goals to win 6-1, is the sign of a championship contender. On the road, that building was going to be juiced up yesterday after the Devils won Game 3 and scored 8 goals. They get the first goal, and then Carolina scores 6 unanswered goals. And here's another thing I like about the Hurricanes. So far in 2 rounds, they have not lost back-to-back games in the playoffs. Okay? And when you can have a short memory, and when you can put losses behind you like that, you become that much more formidable. Because when you don't let anything snowball, look at what we just talked about with the Toronto Maple Leafs. They let their struggles against Florida snowball a bit. Now they're down 3-0. And we're talking about their season being over. Carolina lost Game 3 to the Islanders. They came back and won Game 4. Then they lost Game 5, and they had to go back to a hostile UBS Arena on Long Island in the first round. And they won Game 6 on the road to close out the Islanders. They lose Game 3 to the New Jersey Devils 8-4, as I said. And then last night, they come back and win by a bigger margin in Game 4 than New Jersey won by in Game 3. And the Hurricanes just keep things moving. And I think the other thing that I like about Carolina this year is that they are finding out ways to win on the road. The Carolina Hurricanes last season did not win a road playoff game. They happened to win a round despite that in 7 games, with the home team winning every game against the Boston Bruins. And then they lost to the New York Rangers in 7 games, in which the home team won every game until the final game, when Carolina lost Game 7 at home. So they were 0-6 on the road last year in the playoffs. This year, through 5 playoff games, they are 3-2. So that is a nice turnaround in a positive direction for Carolina. And again, like, they can win the cup as far as I'm concerned, because of how sound and responsible they are in their own zone. And you do that, you're going to be in every game. You're going to be able to protect leads well. You're going to be able to prevent the other team from scoring a lot. So even when you are behind, it might only be 1-0 or 2-1. You're going to be in low-scoring, tighter games, perhaps. And, you know, I doubt the league is really juiced about Carolina-Florida in the Eastern Conference Finals, but that's where it looks like we're headed in the National Hockey League. Maybe New Jersey can get a Game 5 and send it back home, but like the Islanders did. But as I said, Carolina's been much better on the road in these playoffs than a year ago. And the other game last night, the Dallas Stars win it 6-3 over the Seattle Kraken to even that best of 7 at 2 games apiece, heading back to Big D for Game 5 tomorrow night. And Dallas showed me, that they were up for the task last night with the way that they came out and started that game by scoring 4 consecutive goals to blitz the why am I drawing a blank on who they're playing now? Oh, Kraken. They get up 4-0 right away. And, you know, I talked a little bit about it with Carolina scoring 6 in a row. You want to talk about taking a crowd out of a game? Score a bunch of goals quickly to demoralize the crowd. And that's what Dallas did last night. Joe Pavelski added another one, the American-born veteran for Dallas, is Been chasing that Stanley Cup. He got close a couple different times with San Jose in 2016, with Dallas in the bubble in 2020. Perhaps this is the year for Joe Pavelski as the Stars get even 2-2. And how about Miro Heiskanen, the Finnish defenseman, who had an injury last night, and it was a pretty bad one that we weren't sure if it was going to allow him to play. And not only does he play last night, but he played 31 minutes. And, you know, that's obviously more than half the game. And, you know, that's the sign of a gamer. And I think a lot of the good contending clubs need that quarterback A-list blue liner. And Heiskanen is that for Dallas. So he gets out there and, you know, gives him a game effort. And I also liked the fact that if you're Dallas, we talked a little bit about it earlier in the week. Jake Ottinger has not been himself in this series. But Dallas just limited Seattle's scoring chances. Just 19 shots on goal for the Kraken. So, you know, that's one way when your goaltender's struggling. Play better in front of him. Score 6 goals. Limit the opposing scoring chances for the other team and you'll be fine. And obviously, to win the Stanley Cup, Jake Ottinger is going to have to find his groove again. But I think against a team like Seattle, who is devoid of the high-end skill, we talked a little bit about this with Jeff Baker from the Seattle Times yesterday, where they don't have those guys that can just make your jaw drop and go, wow, he just did that. And so because of that, it allows you to game plan strong enough defensively to where if you do have the right X's and O's strategy to limit the scoring chances for the other team, Seattle's not going to have one of those players that just transcends your good game plan and despite your game plan being so good defensively, is able to work his way through and get some high grade A scoring chances on your goaltender. They don't have those kinds of forwards in the Pacific Northwest right now. So due to that, I think that it just was a nice bounce back game for a lot of people with the Dallas Stars. Again, their forwards started to score more. Their defense obviously held Seattle to just 19 shots. And while Ottinger let 3 in, I think the fact that, you know, he let in 7 in game 3 and 5 in a game 1 loss has to make him feel like, okay, like I'm not here on my own by myself in this run to what we all hope is a Stanley Cup for the Dallas Stars. You know, like that it feels like that room is pretty confident that they have a really good team and could make a deep run. And that's the kind of game last night that indicates that kind of confidence. When they can score 4 quick ones, when their goaltender doesn't need to do a ton, and when their defense plays pretty well. Add it all up, and you get, I think, the most impressive win of the series. I'll even say more impressive than Seattle's 7-2 Game 3 win. And it is still just a best of 3, but I think sooner or later, the Kraken story will have its final chapter written. And I would be surprised if Seattle won this series, but I was surprised when they beat Colorado. So what do I know? We'll take one final timeout, and we'll come back. A couple of games tonight, both in the Association and in the National Hockey League. So we'll go through what we expect to see tonight with the playoff action on the hardwood and on the ice as we are getting you over the hump for a Wednesday afternoon as John Bemmer will be out tomorrow, but the show will roll on tomorrow, and then Bemmer's back on Friday for our 10th inning and Friday 5. But we still got one more segment to finish up on a Wednesday. We're back on the other side. First Name Sports, Sportsnet Radio.
With First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Live from the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Greg Frank.
All right, we are back on a Wednesday afternoon, wrapping things up, getting you over the hump. And it's become kind of a regular segment for us, obviously, with the playoffs and the Stanley Cup and the NHL, and the NBA. We like to discuss the games for the night coming up before we wrap things up for our show. And let's start on the hardwood where the Miami Heat and New York Knicks play. I believe the series ends tonight, honestly. I know it's back in New York, and you know maybe the home crowd will get the Knicks one game. You know, I guess a second game in the series, but you know, prevent them from losing three in a row here to end the series. But I don't know. When we played the cut yesterday, when you have Julius Randle just saying maybe they want it more. And by the way, Randle's a part of the poor effort that the Knicks have displayed at various junctures of this series. That's not what you want to hear in the second round of the playoffs. So I think we all knew that this series on paper was least appetizing, least amount of star players. And so it was going to come down to a lot of intangible factors, a lot of things like effort and leadership and coaching. And I talked a little bit about this yesterday. All of those things are check marks for Miami. So when you think about it, I thought the Heat were going to win this series. And honestly, the way that they've, if they do close it out tonight, as I expect them to, I'm not even that surprised that it might end in five. And, you know, I talked a little bit about this earlier. You know, if the Sixers finally get out of the second round and they play Miami, you know, how would you, it would be really hard to cope with then losing to the Heat. But I think at the same time, like, we have to acknowledge that Miami was, while they weren't a great regular season team this year, I do think a lot of this stuff is, like we say, is this team built for the regular season or is this team built for the playoffs? And there are some teams that are just regular season monsters that can't flip the switch in the playoffs when they lose a game and it kind of gets in their own way. We talk about that President's Trophy curse in the National Hockey League. Well, in the NBA, I feel like the Heat are built for the playoffs. And that's why they're one win away from their third trip to the conference finals since they acquired Jimmy Butler. They got to the NBA Finals in the bubble in 2020, got to the conference finals last year, hosted a Game 7, and now they're one win away from another conference finals. And I just think that all the Heat culture and all of the intangibles, when you're not that overmatched, and they haven't been in any of these playoff runs that they've made, you're mentally tougher than the other team a lot. And that's certainly, I think, one thing that the Heat have going for them in this series. And again, I expect it to end tonight at Madison Square Garden. I kind of want it to, honestly. Like, I want the Knicks fans and all the hysteria over winning a round to then have to, for their own fans to have to watch their season end in them, in their building. I would enjoy that. So we'll see if Jimmy Butler and company can wrap it up. The other game tonight in the NBA is also a 3-1 series as the Los Angeles Lakers try and advance to the Western Conference Finals tonight against the Golden State Warriors. I do not think the Lakers are going to win the game tonight. I expect the Warriors to win. And by the way, I would lay the 7.5 points if you're betting tonight. I think the Warriors cover. Because we don't think of the Warriors as massively overmatched in this series. Only one of the Lakers' three wins was a blowout. Game one, the Lakers were largely in charge of, but they didn't kill them. I can't remember what the final score was in the first game, but it was 117-112. And then you have a Warriors blowout in game two, a Lakers blowout in game three, and you had a close game in game four go the Lakers' way as well. So there have been two close games. The Lakers have won both of them. So tonight, in a weird way, if you're the Lakers, like if I'm a Lakers fan and you told me you're going to lose tonight, I would rather lose by 30 points. Because, again, then I can just say, all right, AD, LeBron, like, let's take it easy. Let's pack it in, like, putting all our chips in the game six basket. If the game goes down to the wire and the Warriors win, then they automatically probably renew a little bit more confidence. There's this crazy stat that John Belmer showed me in show prep. Steph Curry, what, 0 for his last 12? In, is it game tying or game or go ahead field goal attempts?
I'll pull it up right now.
Yeah, please do. And so if the Warriors have one of those moments tonight and we saw how poorly they executed down the stretch in game four, then it's like, oh, no, 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 we can still win these close games. We can still win a game down to the wire. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Steph Curry is now 0-for-12 in his playoff career on potential go-ahead shots in the final 45 seconds or fourth quarter overtime.
That's crazy to think about. The best shooter of all time can't make a go-ahead shot in the final 45 seconds.
It's ridiculous.
Right, of the fourth quarter overtime.
Yep, it's ridiculous.
So if he just makes one of those shots tonight, you know, then the Warriors are thinking, well, hey, we've grinded one out at home. We're still in this. We can win another close game. You know, if I'm the Lakers, I would not want to expend too much energy and lose tonight, is my point. So I think the Warriors will win. I don't think it'll be all that close. And I think game six probably decides the series. On the ice, we mentioned it. Toronto and Florida, game four, 3-0 Florida leading Toronto. I think it's over for the Leafs tonight. I mean, maybe it'll be a close game, but I think that Florida has a level of confidence right now that, you know, like, why would that go away? Sergei Bobrovsky playing really well between the pipes. Why would they just, you know, at home lay an egg? And I almost feel like that's what it takes for Toronto to win tonight, because Florida, just in close games here, has been the more confident team. And I don't see a blowout tonight. So, you know, now maybe Toronto will tap out and get crushed and their season will end with an embarrassing loss. But if you're telling me another close game, I'm going to go Panthers again. So, I mean, Florida wins and wraps it up. And, you know, I don't know about Edmonton and Vegas. I don't. The, you know, conventional wisdom tells you Edmonton evens it up tonight. But I think that there's probably a little bit of a chip on the Vegas shoulders right now. And you saw it the way they played in game three, where if they can go out and dominate the Edmonton Oilers again, or at least score early, like, there's going to be a confidence that emanates from that Vegas bench where they, I think, even though they don't have the stars, I think they know they're better. And I think they are, top to bottom. So can Edmonton, with the great home crowd and the top-end skill, even things up and send it back to Sin City 2-2? It wouldn't shock me, but I don't think Vegas, like, let me put it like this. I mentioned how the Lakers are going to San Fran, and if they get behind, like, they might just mail it in. I don't think that's Vegas tonight. Like, I think there's going to be a killer instinct that Vegas tries to play with tonight to grab a 3-1 lead and really grab a stranglehold on a series that everybody, myself included, thought would be a long one. But I look at Vegas winning both of the games that it's won by considerable margin. Now, Edmonton won a blowout game as well in game two. But I look at Vegas being able to take it to Edmonton in Edmonton's building with a backup goalie in there in game three. If that doesn't boost your confidence or make you think, hey, we can beat these guys any building, anytime, you know, it doesn't matter. We're just better than them. And I think that Vegas might think that. And I wouldn't blame them for feeling that way. So I'm not really sure about Vegas and Edmonton. And if I had to pick, I'd probably pick Vegas, honestly. Because Vegas was my pick at the beginning of the series, and I just really liked the way they responded after giving up the first goal in game one. Very similar to Carolina last night, giving up the first goal and then scoring six unanswered against the Devils. Well, Warren Fogle got the first goal in game three for Edmonton, five unanswered for the Vegas Golden Knights to win the game 5-1. That'll wrap things up for us on a Wednesday afternoon. Thanks to our guests, Bobby Krivitsky and Lance Hornby. Almost said Thornby. Had to make sure there wasn't. I don't know why. It's like sometimes that TH sound, like, it just is embedded into my brain to say it. But Lance Hornby from the Toronto Sun, appreciate their time. Always thank you to John Belmer for producing our show. He's out tomorrow, but I'm here. So I'll be back tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 to 3 Central, on a Thursday as we are over the hump. Everybody enjoy the playoff action tonight. A lot of matinee baseball going on. So if your team is in action on the diamond, good luck. And I'm back tomorrow, as I said, from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. This has been another edition of First Name Sports. Greg Frank signing off on the Sports Map Radio Network.